Well, read about an insurance agent that was questioning an old cowboy about his medical history, and he asked him if he had had any accidents. Old cowboy said no, and the guy was kind of perplexed because he had quite a history of past injuries, and he asked him about it, and the old cowboy said, well, yeah, I've had some injuries. I got thrown off a horse, and I got bit by a rattlesnake, and I was horned by a bull, and there was that one time that Thelma hit me with the frying pan and gave me a concussion. He said, but weren't none of it accidents? That was all on purpose. And I just want to tell you this morning that if we're going to live a meaningful life, it has to be on purpose. We got to live a life of purpose. We're in a series right now called A Meaningful Life. And I want you to understand, a meaningful life doesn't happen by accident. It won't happen by default. No, it's something that has to happen on purpose. You know, there's no accidents with the Lord. No matter what somebody might have told you one time, you were not an accident to God. No, He has a purpose for your life. And we have to live a life of purpose. I believe that He designed us in such a way that there's something on the inside of us that we need a sense of purpose. It's not enough to just live out our days. But too many settle for that. Even Christians many times don't really know their purpose in life. And without knowing God's purpose, our lives lack real meaning. Without purpose, we end up just being a participant in the rat race of life. And God certainly has something more for us than that. So we have to know what we're about, why we're here. Proverbs 29 and 18 in the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what he's talking about here is vision. He's talking about revelation. Revelation of the purpose of God. Without that, we're just living out our days. In the New King James Version, it says it this way, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. See, without knowing the purpose of God in our life, we just end up living a haphazard life. Man, you sure see that a lot in our world. It's people going this way and that way, not really knowing what they're doing in life. It's a haphazard life. But we talk about purpose. A lot of the time, we end up focusing on certain details in life. And really, we end up just looking for direction about a specific decision. It's kind of another way that when we're seeking the will of God, it kind of goes like this sometimes. Is it part of God's purpose for me to go to college? Is it in the purpose of God for me to get this job? Is it in God's purpose for me to marry this person? Here's what I want you to understand about that. Now, I know I said the details of life. Don't misunderstand me. I acknowledge that those are huge decisions with big consequences. But here's what you need to know. You see, you can go to that college and you can take that job and you can marry that person and you can still miss the purpose of God in your life. That's what most people do. They just bypass, they just miss out on the true purpose of God in their life. And here's the thing, when we really find the purpose of God in our life and we fulfill God's purpose in our life, the details come together. So we need to know what really is the purpose of God in our life. We're talking about the big questions of life, like, why am I here? Why did God create me? What's the meaning of life anyway? And this morning, we're going to focus on four primary purposes that really answer those big questions. Four things that we can pursue after every day of our life. Not just for a while, not just until this happens or that happens. No, every day of our life, there are four purposes, and there's probably some more, but we're going to focus on these four today that will help us to really live the life that God has for us and give meaning to life. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 and 38, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Notice that he says first and great. Jesus says the most important thing in life is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the most important thing. And I want you to understand this morning that the first and foremost purpose of God in your life is that you have a love relationship with Him. You need to know that He created us to have a relationship with Him. We see it even in the Garden of Eden from the very beginning, that He came walking in the cool of the day to talk to Adam and Eve. And that was the way it was supposed to be, that we have that kind of fellowship with the Lord, that kind of a love relationship with Jesus. That's the way it's supposed to be every day in our life. And here's the thing, a lot of people go through life and they never really get that. You can even know about that and never really get it. You were made to have a relationship with God, have a love relationship with Him. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to restore what was lost in the garden. He came to restore the relationship between God and man. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, it says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You know, a lot of times we read that verse, we just talk about that one verse, but the very next verse, it tells us why we're a new creation. Why is all this so important about everything being new? Because now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why Jesus came, is to restore the relationship between God and man. When we're born again as a new creation, you see, we are brought back into fellowship with Him. And that is the whole message of the Bible. That's what the scripture is all about, is God restoring man back into that relationship with Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing, to love Him. We got to have a relationship with Him, but we also have to know Him. You know, when the Bible talks about knowing Him, it's not just talking about knowing about Him. You know, last week I shared with you from John 17 and 3, Jesus defines eternal life. This is eternal life, He said, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is. It's knowing Him. And I have found for myself that to know Him is the journey of a lifetime. That no matter how much I know Him, there's so much more to know. He is such an infinite and awesome God beyond our imagination. Yes. Oh, how we need to know Him. We need to know Him as our healer, as our provider, as our Father. We need to know Him as our fortress, as our strong tower, our defender, our avenger. We need to know Him as our friend that's closer than a brother. I'm just telling you, there's so much to know about Him. And the more that we know Him, the more you love Him. And what are you supposed to do? Love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. I'm telling you, this is first and foremost the purpose of God in your life. That every day when you get up, here's the most important thing in your life: to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It doesn't matter what else you do with your life, what else you accomplish in life. If you miss this, you missed it all. It's wasted. It's meaningless. This is the most important purpose in your life, that you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. When this life is over, we'll finally know Him in all of His glory. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "Now we know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. You know, each and every day we have this purpose to know Him and to love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. Purpose. Purpose is not an accident. It's something you do intentionally. And the relationship that is available to us, you see, that is provided to us through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still have to choose to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. We have to choose that. And I want you to realize this morning, it has to be very intentional. It has to be on purpose. You see, we pursue that love relationship in prayer. We don't pray just to tell God what we need. That's, yes, you take your request to God, but that's not the only reason we pray. No, we pray because we want to have that fellowship with Him. Like the old song says, He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me I'm His own. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the most important thing. You leave that purpose out of your life, you got nothing. I'm telling you, we need to remember, it's not just about our request. It is about a relationship. That's why in Revelations 3:20, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. You see, that's about a relationship. We pursue that purpose of a love relationship in our prayer life. Why are you going to get up and pray in the morning? Because that is the most important thing, is your love relationship with God. We pursue that love relationship through His Word. We seek Him in His Word. It is the Word of God that reveals to us the person and the character of God. It is through the Word of God that we can know the one true God. In the pop theology of the day, in the religious culture in America, so many people just kind of have their own version of God and who God is. And I'm not just talking about New Age people. I'm talking about those who call themselves Christian. They've kind of got their own little made-up version of who God is, and it is idolatry. There's only one true God. He is the God of the Bible. He's the God who's described in the Bible, and if you know a different God than the one that's revealed through the Word of God, it's not life-giving. Oh, it's nothing but idolatry. See, we there's this attitude, kind of the, oh, whatever, anything goes. No, we need to hold to the truth of Scripture, and it is the Scripture that reveals to us who God is. And if we want to know Him, we want to really have that love relationship with Him, we will seek to know Him through the Word of God. Listen to this, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right. So you want a love relationship with Him, you seek Him in His Word. So when you read your Bible, and I understand, you know, you're reading Leviticus and the law in there. You're reading some begets and this person beget that person. You may not get a whole lot about a love relationship, but I'm just telling you, through the Word of God, so often you're going to understand, you're going to know Him in a deeper way as He speaks to you through His Word. So you pursue after this purpose in your life to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind by seeking Him in His Word. And we pursue a love relationship with Him in worship. In John 4:23, Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. There's an amazing truth about God. Is that He's seeking certain people He's seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. I want to be sought after by God, don't you? I want to have a kind of love relationship with God where He's seeking after me. You know what? We pursue that love for Him in our worship, in spirit and in truth. It's not just something in the heart. As Jonathan said, it's something that comes out of your mouth. But neither is it just lip service. No, God wants us to live it. It has to be truth. It can't just be something that we sing or we talk about. You know, there's so many people today that say they love Jesus, but their life says something different. Our worship is an expression of our love and adoration for Him. He's seeking true worshipers, not pretenders, not attenders, but those who worship in spirit and in truth, and it has to show in the way we live our lives. Jesus said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. We can say we love Jesus, but Jesus says if we love Him, we keep His word. In fact, three times in John chapter 14, He says that in one way or another. If we love Him, we keep His word. Amen. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But I'm telling you this, if we're sincere, we do our best to keep His word. I'm still talking about loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Because Jesus said, if anybody loves me, he'll keep my word. Yes. And our worship can't just be lip service. It has to be something that we live out in our life. He will keep my word. And then he says this, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I'm just letting that soak. Because a whole lot of people don't believe the Bible. There's a whole lot of people, they just say, oh, that's not really in the Bible. Oh, yeah, it is in the Bible. If we love Him, we will keep His word. And Jesus says, and the Father will love us, and they will come and make their home with us. And that is our purpose in life. That is what we're supposed to live. That kind of relationship, a love relationship with God. That's what we're created for. The second primary purpose in life is to love others. You saw that one coming, didn't you? Matthew 22, 39. And the second, Jesus says, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Each and every day, we need to go out into our world and into our day, whatever our agenda is that day, and realize that we have this purpose, that we're supposed to love others. That this is what God has called us to do. He Himself has given us this purpose. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells a story to illustrate what it means to love your neighbor. But in verse 25, this is how it came about. A lawyer stood up and he asked Jesus a question to test Him. Now, when I say lawyer, we're not talking about a lawyer like an attorney, like what we think of today. We're talking about someone who studied the law of God. And so he, of course, knows the answer to his question before he even asked Jesus, but he's asking Jesus in order to test Him, to try to trick Him or trap Him. So he says, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? He answers, he says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. He knows what's right. He just doesn't want to do it. And you see, we can know what's right. We can know what the Bible says, and yet we can still make excuses and justifications and rationalizations and not obey God. In verse 29 of Luke 10, he says that he wanted to justify himself. And so he says to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" You see, the religious people of this time, they didn't have a problem with loving their family and loving their close friends or loving people that were part of their group, loving people who loved them. But when you start talking about loving people outside of your circle, loving those that are from a different walk of life, loving those who maybe are your enemies, that's just too much. That is exactly the purpose that we've been called to. And if we think that's too much, and if we just say, I'm just not going to do that, I'm telling you, you're missing the primary purpose of God in your life. This is how we're called to live. So Jesus tells a story about a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and while he was on the way, he was attacked by robbers. They beat him, left him half dead on the side of the road. And Jesus said that a priest came along. He looked at the man and just kept going, passed by on the other side of the road. And then after a little while, a Levite came, and the same thing. He looked but passed by on the other side of the road. And then finally, a Samaritan came along, and the Samaritan had compassion on the man, and he cared for him and bandaged up his wounds. And then he took him to a place where he could be cared for, and he paid the expenses for this man to be cared for until he recovered. Jesus asked the lawyer, he said, "Which of these was the neighbor to that man?" He answered and said, "I suppose the one who had mercy on him." And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." And I want to encourage you this morning that this is part of the purpose of God every day in our life. Jesus makes it so clear that our neighbor is that person in need. Our neighbor is maybe somebody that needs a friend. Our neighbor might be somebody that needs guidance, or maybe they need prayer. Some might need financial help. Somebody might just need to be invited to church. That's easy. Some might need somebody just to care. But our neighbor is that person that has need, and we can have mercy on. We can have compassion on. You know, there's a lot of people today that think of themselves as spiritual people, like the Levite and the priest did. But they pass by on the other side, and they miss the purpose of God in that time, in that point. Listen, that opportunity that God set before them. I wonder if the Levite had an agenda that day. You know, he had goals. I wonder if the priest had somewhere where he needed to be. I want you to understand that we all should have goals. We all should have, you know, things going on in our life. We've got responsibilities to take care of. But no matter what we accomplish in our life, no matter how responsible we are, if we miss the purpose of God in our life, it doesn't matter. We need to be careful that this is first and foremost, that our purpose is to love God first and to love our neighbor as ourself. And every day, that's the most important thing to us. That's what's most important to Jesus. Pay the bill for somebody that doesn't deserve it. Somebody falls, help them up. And I don't just mean physically. If somebody's weak, fight for them. How about if somebody curses you? Bless them. If somebody hates you, do good to them. somebody uses you, pray for them. Some of you know where I'm going. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I want to tell you, every day we have an opportunity to love people that don't deserve it. That's part of our purpose in life. I see in our world right now so many Christians that, you know, when they're cursed, they just curse back. When they're persecuted, they don't jump and rejoice like Jesus said to. Instead, they get all mad and they're all angry. I'm telling you, we're supposed to love those people and pray for them. Amen. It's time for us to focus on the purpose of God for us individually and as a body of Christ, what we're really about. Jesus makes it so clear. John 13:34, he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you must love one another. Wow, that's a tall order, to love others the way Jesus has loved us. But that's our purpose every day, to love others. The third purpose is to work together with the Lord. Wow. What an amazing thing that God allows us to be co-laborers together with Him. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why are we created in Christ Jesus? Part of that is for good works. That's purpose. You were created for good works. And here's the amazing thing, which God prepared in advance. You see, before you were even born, God already knew about you. He already had a plan for you. He already had a purpose. And there are things that He has prepared in advance for you to do. That's how important you are in the plan of God. Amazing that we get to be a part of what God is doing in changing lives and impacting eternity. Co-laborers with Him. Paul says it this way, 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 6. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. See, it's always God that gives the increase. He says, so neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. How awesome to know that whatever we're doing, we're working together with the Lord. I want you to understand, it is not about our ability. God doesn't need our ability. He's the one that makes it go. He's the one that causes it to grow. He's the one that gives the increase. It's not our ability, it's our availability. It's that we're willing to serve God and serve others. Work together with God, to be a co-laborer together with Him in fulfilling what God is doing in and through His church. But you know, the Lord has given every single one of us certain gifts and abilities, and it doesn't matter how shy and introverted you are. It doesn't matter how average you think you are. It doesn't matter how untalented you might be in the eyes of the world. No, God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Every one of us has a place, a function, a part in the body of Christ. And the Bible says that every one of us is important in what God is doing. We just need to realize that it's God that uses us. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I want you to know, I absolutely know that. Listen, anything life-changing happens, it's God. We need to remember that. We just have to be available and be willing to co-work with God. We're working together with the Almighty who can do anything, and we plant, we water, and He gives the increase. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one of us should use whatever gift he has or he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms So if we're going to find purpose in life, we got to look beyond ourselves. Because with the Lord, it is always about other people. That's what God cares about, is people. And the purpose of God is always going to have to do with other people. Our purpose can't ever be just about making a lot of money. It's not just about our personal success. There's a whole lot of this kind of teaching today in the body of Christ where it's all about our success and all about us achieving this and that and how to have the good life and all that. I'm telling you, we miss it all when we miss this, that our purpose is to be a co-laborer together with God and to make a difference in people's lives, to make a difference in eternity. J.L. Kraft. Anybody ever eat some Kraft cheese? I love cheese. For years, J.L. Kraft gave 25% of his profits to Christ. He said that his business, it wasn't just about building a business, but it was about building the kingdom. And he saw his day job as just a way to be a part of what God was doing. He saw it as a vehicle to help build the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you that whatever we do in life, you see, it's not just about us. It has to be about something bigger, something that really matters. There has to be some kind of real purpose in it. Maybe the Lord wants a young person to be a doctor so you can help people. Maybe he wants somebody to be an attorney so they can defend the weak, stand for what's right. Maybe the Lord wants you to get involved in children's ministry and change children's lives. Maybe God wants to use you as a worship leader. I don't know. You see, there's so many different ways that God uses people. But I want you to understand, it's not just with flash and show and things up front. No, God uses people every day in all kinds of ways. That's the way the body of Christ works. That's the way God works. That each of us have gifts and abilities, and he wants to use every one of us. Every one of us gets to be a co-laborer together with God. Finally, our purpose in life is to become like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You see, God knew. He knew that you would get saved in the foreknowledge of God, and he is predestined that you will be conformed into the image of Jesus. Now, that will happen in eternity. The Bible says that when we see him, we'll be like him. But you see, every day of our life, we need to understand this primary purpose in our life, that we're supposed to be becoming like Jesus more and more day by day, that we're being conformed into the image of Jesus. Amen. You know, when Jesus says to one of the disciples, and I believe he says the same thing to us today, "Follow me." He's not asking us to go for a walk. He's asking us to follow his way of life. He's asking us to become like him. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, that we imitate him, that we pursue after being like him. Jesus said in Luke 6:40, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher." So you see, when we're fully trained, when we're complete, be just like the master. How exciting would it be for a young person to get to train with Dak Prescott? How would you feel about your child getting to train with some famous singer? We get to train with the master. Amen. He's the one who can give abundant life, show us how to really live this life the way that it's supposed to be. People today, it's kind of popular. A lot of people have a coach, a life coach, you know, that's going to show them how they can be successful. You want to really be successful? Just follow Jesus. He'll show you. He invites us to come to learn from him. The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." You see, that's how we pursue this purpose in life. Is we make up our mind that we're not just going to live for ourselves anymore, but we're going to let Jesus live in us. We got to make that choice that it's not just about me and what I want, but it's what Jesus wants, and we let Jesus live in us. We just finished a series on the fruit of the Spirit. It's, you see, we make that choice when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our lives, and that fruit of the Spirit is produced in us of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I want to tell you, when that is evident in your life, you're becoming more like Jesus. But it doesn't happen by accident. It's not automatic. No, we got to be intentional about it and pursue that purpose of becoming a little bit more like Jesus every day. And I know that for the lukewarm Christian, I know it doesn't really appeal to them. They're content just to stay where they are. But I want to tell you the truth this morning. You know what this world really needs? Listen, a lot of people think, yeah, the world, they just need for God to get them. I'm going to tell you the truth. What this world really needs is they need Jesus. And the truth is the only Jesus that most people are ever going to see is you. And it might sound cliche, but it is the absolute truth. We are the body of Christ in the earth today. And what this world needs to see is Christians being like Jesus. None of us has arrived. None of us is going to arrive in this lifetime, but it ought to be our purpose and goal each and every day when we get up in the morning to say, today I want to try to be a little bit more like Jesus. And I'll probably blow it, I'll probably miss it, I'll probably mess up somewhere, but every day I want to be a little bit more like my master. These four purposes, I'm telling you, every day, no matter what your agenda, no matter what's going on in your day, no matter what else you got, how far your drive, whatever it is, I'm just telling you, every day you can pursue these purposes in your life to have a love relationship with God, to love your neighbor as yourself, to be a co-laborer together with God, what he's doing in the earth, and to be becoming a little more like Jesus every day. And you know when we stop this? When the Lord comes back or we go home. Not until that happens. I tell you, too many believers, that somewhere along the way, they quit. Here's what the Bible says about David in Acts 13:36. It says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. That ought to be the way it is. We just keep serving God's purpose until that day. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to come.